John chapter 14. All right. Last week we had white smoke. Praise the Lord, right? I was telling the college and career class on Wednesday, you know what's sad? We make fun in whatever, but I'm going to be honest with you. This last week, I've just watched, and I've heard more about the way the Catholics are going and things like that. You know what really worries me is that we take it as they're so foolish and they'll never change. And all the, you know, I feel bad about that because I'm going to be honest with you. We as a people believe what we believe because somebody came across our path and told us and how fortunate we are to be in a place where you learn truth. It's not about the men. It isn't about, I couldn't care less about that. Please don't take this wrong. But I don't ever teach you anything that's not in here. And if it's not in here, I let you know it's not in here, and I let you know it's my own thoughts, and I let you know it's my, and then you can take it for whatever it's worth. But if it's in here, you can't take it for whatever it's worth. It's truth, and that's the bottom line. You know what bothers me, though, is that I read a scripture to the college and career class. Ye shall seek me, and ye shall die in your sins. You know, I believe that these people are seeking something. Now, let me tell you, I believe an alcoholic is seeking something. I believe a drug addict is seeking something. I believe a person, even an atheist, is seeking something. And what they need to find is Christ, and they're going to die in their sins unless they find him. You can go wherever you want to go, say whatever you want to say. There's 8,000 plus people in the square waiting for the white smoke. They had what really got me thinking about this, they had an internet-fed live feed smoke cam where I couldn't help it. I had to click on it. I couldn't help it. I wanted to see what it was all about. It was in the middle of the night there, 7:58 their time or whatever, and it showed this smoke cam in the middle of the dark live. And I said, this can't be live. There's no way. It's just a picture. There's no way. It's a chimney in the, sitting there doing nothing. Live. They let it stream. And I'm thinking to myself, there's no way. And there it was. I could hear the people talking. So I knew it was live. And then literally 5 minutes later, out comes the white smoke. The people start to cheer. They start to applaud. They start to scream how wonderful it is that they've got a new holy daddy. And what's amazing to me, they're seeking something. They're at the square seeking something. There's 8,000 plus people standing there in the middle of a torrential downpour seeking something. And they will die in their sins unless they find Christ. They're not going to get any closer to Jesus Christ kissing the new pontiff's toe than anything else. They can go be a drug addict and alcoholic. It's going to take them to the same place that believing that he is anything more than a sinner. And I understand. It is funny. I'm telling you, it's funny. I sit back and watch that and laugh. But at the very same time, how fortunate have I been that I wasn't born Catholic? How fortunate, because I've been able to find the truth. And the truth has made me free. They have not found the truth. And they will die in their sins. Believing what they believe, and this is what you need to hear. Believing what they believe as much as you believe what you believe. We better be very careful on how we handle situations like with the Catholics. They need your Lord. You got him. As fortunate as that is, you got him. They don't. That's the difference. So anyhow, and I'm just going to read to you real quickly. You should be in John chapter 14. In 1 Corinthians, I'm going to read to you just quickly. In chapter 2, in verse 10, this is where we started 2-3 weeks ago when we first started talking about the works of the Holy Spirit. We know last week we talked about He searches you. In 1 Corinthians 2:10, we see the second part, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The Spirit searches the deep things of God. Then, if you go over into John chapter 14, in verse 26, the Bible says, He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. But the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. And as we keep looking on, John 14, 26. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, keep going. It's all right. These things, that was verse 24. I always do that. I always back up two verses. I tell you where I'm going, I always back up two verses. I apologize. These things have I spoken unto you, yet being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you what? How many things? He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. The Holy Spirit's job is to teach us, listen now, it's not just to teach us a few things. It's not just to teach us several things. When it talks about the Lord Jesus Christ and the things that God has said, the Holy Spirit is what's going to teach you, because you must understand. I want to break this verse down. But the Comforter, which we know is the Holy Ghost, why? Because it tells us in the very next statement, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So this Holy Spirit is very interested in teaching you what? What this Bible says to you. Now I hear over and over and over, very many times, it's not just a few times, it's all the time that I hear that the King James Bible is hard to understand. I hear it all the time. By the way, let me help you out a little bit. The King James Bible is at a lower reading level than any of the other versions. I don't care which one you pick. It's at a lower reading level than all the rest. And I don't have time to show you what words they changed and what words they took out and all this other stuff. If you don't know that, might not feel bad for you. But understand this, the Holy Ghost, when's the last time? And you need to think along these lines, because we are taught by the Holy Ghost, not by your flesh. We are taught by the Holy Ghost, not by your own intellect. We are taught by the Holy Ghost, not your body does not desire to learn the Word of God. That's why it's so hard to read it. Your body does not have a desire to sit there and learn the things of God. It doesn't have that desire. You've got to let the Holy Ghost work through you to read that Bible. And by the way, if you do that, if you allow the Holy Ghost to work through you, what's it going to do? It's going to teach you. Thank you very much. It's going to teach you the things of God. But not only the things of God, the deep things of God. I am not a deeper lifer guy. That's not what this is talking about. It's talking about what are the deep things that God wants His Christians, His children, what are those deep things that He wants you to know? Salvation is just one that scratches the surface. Getting into the nuts and bolts of how you got saved and why you got saved, that's the deep things of God. We're not talking about what's going to happen after the rapture, post-rapture, the thousand-year kingdom. I'm not talking about those deep things, because I'm going to be honest with you. Learning about those things, although fun. Learning about those things, although neat. I think a lot of that stuff is overtaught. Well, that's not like a brick right there, isn't it? I think a lot of that stuff is overtaught because I don't think a lot of the preachers know exactly what that's talking about. I think we talk about the prophecies that are still yet to be fulfilled in the revelation and the rapture. And I think those things are great. I think it's wonderful that the rapture's coming. And by the way, it's got to be right around the corner. It's got to be right around the corner. But with all those things being said, let me ask you a question. When's the next time we're going to see Jesus Christ? In the clouds.
So we got a real good chance of seeing it here for better first. I'll tell you that right now.
All the time. But beyond that, it really, the next time we see him is going to be in the clouds. What he does from there, we have a thought. We can see some things. But I don't know exactly what's going to happen. I've studied it some, and I don't see exactly where a lot of preachers are making a lot of money, giving us a lot of stuff that is on their mind. Not on the Bible's time.
That's right.
I'm talking about on their mind. Where they're telling you, this is what's going to happen for sure. Less than the Bible, I'm not sure about it.
Amen.
So anyways, let the Holy Spirit teach you things. Let the Holy Ghost teach you things. And if he teaches you things, he's going to teach them according to the Word of God. We talked months ago. The Holy Ghost is not going to teach you something outside of this. The Holy Ghost is not going to teach you infant baptism is okay. Show me one in here that got baptized. One infant. Show me one in here that got baptized. Show me one. You're not going to find one. Why? Because it's not what's supposed to happen. Saved and then baptized. I can show you lots of different things in the Bible where a person got saved and then they got baptized. But I can't show you one instance where an infant got baptized. And I'm going to be honest with you. I can show you instances where somebody never did get baptized, and yet they still went to heaven. But I can't show you one instance where a person got baptized so they could go to heaven. Do you see the Holy Ghost teaching? It's teaching you according to Scripture. Now, by the way, that's why it's so important, and that's why this preacher's never going to let it go. Is ornery and is... Brother Dave, you're beating a dead horse. As ornery and as beating of a dead horse as I'm doing, I am never going to let loose of beating this dead horse. I'm never going to let loose of it. I don't care how many people go against me. I'll tell you one thing that really surprised me. That church there is King James only, but believe me, it is. But what bothered me was when the man was teaching the class about reading your Bible and studying your Bible, he only mentioned one time which Bible. And he said it. I don't want to stir any feathers, but we believe the King James, and that's what we study here. I'm just going to leave it at that. Well, I'm going to tell you, this preacher wouldn't have left it as that. I don't care who's in my audience. I don't care if the Pope himself is in my audience and he reads Latin. I couldn't care less. Let me explain to you. If you don't have the... Why has the Holy Ghost teaching been diminished? If you read this scripture, it tells you it's going to teach you all things and bring all things into your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. That last statement is very important. If we don't know what he has said to us, then how can we be taught by the Holy Ghost? How can we be taught unless we have Christ? Word! How's it impossible? It's impossible. We can't just pull it out of thin air. We can't just make it up as we go along. Let me tell you something. I'm going to preach a message eventually on even Jesus Christ was not allowed to say anything outside of what God wanted him to say. That's scriptural. I can take you to scripture. Even Jesus Christ will tell you he was not allowed to go outside of what God told him to say. You say, well, he was God in the flesh, but that's foolish. He's teaching you. You better know what God has to say. You better know what Jesus Christ has to say, and you better not go outside of it. Now, if you look at these things, why is it so diluted? The Holy Spirit, why don't you see it moving so much anymore? Why don't you see such great and powerful things? Why don't you see that anymore? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, how many churches have the Word of God anymore?
Right.
Come on now. And the ones that stand up there with the King James Bible and talk about it like it's not the Word of God, and put doubts in your mind about what it is. See, to me, I'm never going to put a doubt in your mind. This is it. Be stupid and trust that. Get in this Bible, read it, let the Holy Ghost reveal it to you. You do it, you work on it, you compare it, I dare you. Go ahead and know where you're going to find it. You're going to be right back here, realizing that this is the Word of God.
But what happens is this, the people, and I challenge you to do it, most of the preachers won't do that. Most of the whatever it is, it's all the Word of God. If it's all the Word of God, then you must be the author of confusion, because when I read those other versions, I don't know.
Yes.
I had a person just the other day tell me, and I always do this with them, and I meet people when they come to me. I always go to the fact that I want you to take your Bible and learn how to count. And then I say that to them because I want them to see that Matthew 18:11 is missing, and they don't even try to cover it up. They just take it out. And then I go ahead and recite to them what it is. And they say, well, I don't understand that, why they would take it out. But it's right out. But it must have been a good reason. The Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Can you see a good reason to take that out? Can you get, I don't care how smart, how intelligent, how many degrees and little vowels and letters and little consonants that they have behind their name. I don't care how smart they are. There's no reason I can find to take out the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost.
That's right, right.
Well, they got it somewhere else. Let me tell you, if Jesus didn't want it right there, he wouldn't have put it there. What's amazing to me is, why is the Holy Spirit having trouble teaching his people? Because his people don't have the Word of God. It's tough to teach a kid math without him having a math textbook. Huh? It doesn't make sense to you? It's hard to teach social studies without a textbook. It's hard to teach science without a textbook. It's hard to learn chemistry experiments without having chemistry experiments. Why is it so difficult for you to learn about, think about this. How do we envision it's so difficult to learn about God when we don't have God's Word? It's amazing to me that that's where people fall short. I went to a Lutheran church for the better part of my formative years growing up. We never cracked the Bible open one time. Never. I'm telling you, I was there for 7-8 years, we never cracked the Bible open. We opened the little green books behind on the back of the pews, the Lutheran book to having worship services. We would sing the Nicene Creed and the Apostolic Creed. We would do all these things, completely reliant on a man to teach us the Word of God. But that's not what the Bible is set up for you, Christian. Oh, I'm thankful that we've got leather lung preachers here. I'm thankful that we've got good classes here that teach us the Word of God. But understand this. Sometime the student's going to have to do a little learning. And if you don't have the right textbook, then what happens? How can we learn the deep things of God when you don't have the textbook that goes with the deep things of God? Amen? What's a deep thing of God? I'm going to tell you this right now, Christian. When you stop learning, you stop growing. If you've allowed yourself to come to a position where you don't feel you need to read the Bible anymore, you don't feel you've anything left to learn, then you really will stop growing. And if you've stopped growing, what other direction is there? You're going to start dying if you don't keep growing. There's always something that you can learn about the Word of God. There's always something you can see. There's always something you can hear. Even in the class that I wasn't necessarily impressed with teaching about the Bible, I still learned things there. You can learn from anybody. I don't care who they are. My 9-year-old son can get up here and teach you something. You can learn from everybody. You can learn from any type. But let me tell you, at the end of the day, you better know what God has said when you want to learn about him.
Amen.
Now, what are the deep things of God? How about justification? Let's back up. How about condemnation? You say, why is that a deep thing? We know about condemnation. Do you? I'm glad you do know about condemnation. Do you know what condemnation means? Condemnation means that every single one of you in here, if you're not saved, you are condemned already.
That's right.
Condemnation teaches that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world guilty. That's what condemnation, that is a deep thing of God. It's a deep thing of God which should make a lot of folks depressed. But understand this, condemnation is just the first side of it. Condemnation is the first side of the great deep thing of God on the other side called justification. See, condemnation is just as if you are a condemned sinner. But then let's jump on the other side. The Holy Spirit will teach you that there's a thing called justification. And justification is more than just getting right. Justification is just as if you've never sinned. That's a deep thing of God. He's taken all your sin away as far as the east is from the west. He's taken all your sins away. Your sins and iniquities you remember no more. That blood that he shed on the cross didn't just make you a better person. It made you, in his eyes, sinless. If you believe on him. That's justification. That's, man, I tell you, you understand condemnation and justification. You've got a very, very deep thing of God. Then there's sanctification. Being set apart. Being sanctified. There's three levels of sanctification. And I'm going to tell you right now, you can learn all those things because the Holy Ghost wants you to know. Why did God save you? Did he save you because you're pretty to look at? Some of you may. Did he save you because you're so good? Did he save you because you're a past Boy Scout? No. He saved you because he's got something waiting for you to do. The preacher, boy, he let it rip on that little boy, just bringing just a little bit of lunch. But you know what? He brought what he had. And a lot of times we get to the point where we discount what we have. Everything you've got is from him.
Amen.
So if you discount, Nelly, if you discount what you've got, then you're telling God you didn't do a good job. Huh? Everything you've got is from him. So if you're telling me that you're not worth serving God, then you're telling me that God has made a mistake. I don't believe God has made a mistake. It's a thing called sanctification. He sets you apart for something. What did he set you apart for? Well, not much. I don't know. I don't have much. Well, the boy didn't have much either, but he brought what he had and gave it to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He gave it to him freely. I love it. He didn't keep back the fish for himself. Think about that for a minute. Good stuff, man. He didn't keep a little morsel of bread so he could. He gave everything he had to Jesus. And what's great is it wasn't much, but Jesus didn't say, no, I tell you what, you go away, and when you get a bigger lunch, you come see me. What am I supposed to do with this? I can't do anything with this. Come on, help me out. You are in that seat more often than you think. I don't have anything to give God. I'm too old. I don't have anything to give God. I'm not smart enough. I don't have anything to give God. I'm not wise enough. I don't have anything to give God. I can't preach right, or I can't do it. God's not interested in what you can't do.
Amen.
God's interested in you bringing what you've got to him and letting him have it, because I want to tell you, you've got something that he wants.
Yep.
Boy, that's good. I tell you, I left that place wanting to charge hell with a squirt gun. I've got something that he wants. I've got something that he wants. You're being taught the deep things of God. I can't possibly serve God. I'm not a pope. Come on now. Well, he's got to have certain qualifications. No, there's no qualification to serving God. You get saved, he'll get you serving.
Right.
We're all sinners.
Yep.
I didn't realize there's anybody above anybody else here.
That's right.
Huh? Amen. What the problem is, we want to take our lunch. And this is so good. We want to take our lunch and say, I don't have anything to give you. Because I'm not starving for you. Huh?
That's right. That's right.
Huh? I wish you'd preach that. I don't want to give you my lunch. I got five loaves and two fishes, but these people ain't getting them.
Right.
Huh? There's people out there right now dying and going to hell because we're putting our lunch under our lapel and walking out. I don't have anything to give. That little boy changed the lives. Changed the lives. Of 5,000 men plus when the children was there. He changed their lives. Why? Because he gave only what he had. Was what he had enough? No. No, it wasn't. What he had wasn't enough until it got in the hands of Jesus Christ.
That's it. Right. That's it.
What can I do? What can I do? I don't know, but give what you've got to him. That's a deep thing of God. There, you don't have to have a degree to serve the Lord. Don't you love these preachers that come to you right off the bat and tell you how many degrees they have?
Yeah.
A paragraph long about how smart they are, how much college they went to? I got news for you.
There's preachers that are in the hills of West Virginia that know more in 10 minutes than these guys do for 25 years of being in college.
That's right. Yeah.
Why? Because they let the Holy Ghost teach you. Let me tell you something, there's not a better teacher in the whole wide world than the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
He will teach you the deep things of God. Justification, sanctification, consecration. Now's where they get right. You allow him to use you. Can you imagine this? The king of the world, the king of kings, Lord of lords, desiring to use you. Setting yourself apart for his service, and then you consecrate yourself. You say, I'm going to say, I'm going to get rid of the world. I'm going to get rid of the things behind me. I'm going to start getting myself right. But then you've got to let the Holy Ghost help you. You're never going to get right without him. He teaches you these things. He teaches you these things. That's what the Holy Spirit's job is to teach us. He teaches us all things that God wants us to know. He's not going to teach you how to find pornography on the computer. I worry about that. It's becoming a very, very common thing. I've heard, and I don't have a statistic, I've had preachers show me in the book, or 50% of independent Baptist preachers have gone to pornography sites on the computers. I don't have any proof of that, but that's what I have heard. I'm going to tell you, if it was one half of 1%, isn't that too many?
Yes.
You know, I'm worried. I'm worried that we've stopped wanting the Holy Spirit to teach us the things of God because we're so desirous to learn the things of the world. Boy, that didn't do very well. Maybe I'll say it again. Maybe you didn't hear it right that time. I don't know. We'll try it again. The Holy Spirit stopped teaching many of us because we don't have a desire to learn the things of God. See, what's amazing to me is we have this desire. And let me tell you, there's nothing wrong with learning and seeing and knowing what's going on in the world. Please don't misread me. But when it takes precedence over what the greatest teacher in the world is wanting to show us, in the greatest textbook in the whole wide world is wanting to show us, and we want to learn out there, we want to read our USA Today long before we read our God's World Forever. We're so worried about what's going on in the world that we don't want to find out what's going on in God's world.
Yep.
It worries me. It worries me that we don't care about the consecration. What about the glorification?
Right. Well,
that's a deep thing of God. Why do we desire to work so hard? Because we're only here for a short time. And by the way, when we leave here, we're going to get a glorified body. That's a deep thing of God. I don't know how it's going to happen. Does anybody else know how it's going to happen? I don't know how it's going to happen. But I sure am excited that it's going to. I sure am excited that I'll never be short of breath again. I sure am, man, anymore, I'm out of breath getting out of my recliner. Maybe I should get out of it a little bit more often. I'm excited to get the glorified body. I'm excited that that's going to happen. That's a deep thing of God. That's the Holy Spirit's going to teach you that. If you get inside the Bible and come to the realization that you're only living in a fleshy temple right now. That this body that the Lord has given you is what he's given you to serve him. It's a vessel.
Yep.
That's a wonderful teaching of the Lord. That's a wonderful teaching of the Holy Spirit. What about adoption? Oh my goodness. Is there anything deeper than adoption? You want to learn a deep thing of God, learn about what you become when you get saved. You don't just become a child of God, you become a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You become a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I don't know how that happens either. That is a deep thing of God. How could he possibly take a sinful man, a sinful body, an undone, broken vessel, and make him equal, co-equal with Jesus Christ, a joint heir. Man, that's a deep thing. That's a deep thing of God. We become sons of God by adoption.
Yep.
He sees that wayfarer orphan that you are. He sees that little dirty-faced bus kid that you are. He sees that one that hasn't had any food for a while. Maybe he doesn't smell quite right.
I've walked up and down this aisle, I gotta be honest with you.
He sees that one that nobody else wants. And he says, you're the kind I like to get. And he loves you so much, and this is what gets me. He loves you so much, there's only one way, Jordan, that he could get you. That's by sending his only begotten son to die for you. That's it. He couldn't send out enough gold. Do you think he has gold? He made a city out of it. I think he's got some. Could he send jewels? He built his walls out of it. He could send jewels. But jewels were enough. There's no money that could be paid. He looked around, tried to find some. How can I make these wayfaring orphans my children? He must go. My son! So he sends his only begotten son to die for us. So we may be adopted in him. That's a deep thing of God. You are not just a child. You are a child of God. You are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I think that's pretty special. That would make a Presbyterian shout if you gave him a chance. If you knew that you what you've got waiting on you, that's a deep thing of God. What about election? Oh, preacher, I don't know if I'd talk about election to this crowd now. Why? Well, are you afraid of election? Election is so very simple. I love it. Preachers fall all over this. They get crazy with this. I'm amazed at some of the things I've heard about what election is. Here's the deep thing of God. God knew who you were long before you ever were.
Yep. Yep. That's right.
Yep.
Do you have that knowledge?
No.
Does the world have that knowledge? No, God does though. God knows the very last person that's going to get saved.
Yeah.
He knows his very last person that is his elect. Now, preachers will teach you, well, because the Lord knows this already, there's no reason to go out and tell people about Jesus Christ because the Lord's going to say who he's going to save, whether we go out or not. It's called Calvinism.
Right.
That's not the Holy Ghost teaching that.
No.
If the Holy Ghost was teaching that, you'd learn that it says, go! It says, go, ye into all the world. What are we supposed to do when we go out in the world? Let's see, are you an elect? You don't know. You tell them about Christ. If they get saved, guess what they were?
They weren't elect.
They weren't elect. I can't listen. You try to figure all that out, I got news for you. You're just going to get you a headache. Understand, the deep thing of God is, God knew who you were long before you ever were.
Yep.
Yeah.
I didn't, at 11 years old, I had no thought that eventually I'd be preaching. Come on. You had no thought that you'd be sitting here if you go back. I love you. Well, I deserve it in the Baptist church. That's how good I am. Yeah. You go back, you would have never dreamed you'd be in this church.
That's right.
You never dreamed you'd be reading the Bible. You never dreamed. Come on, rewind your life.
Yep.
But God knew who you were going to be. God knew what you was going to do. God knew you was going to get saved. God's gone on to prepare a place for you. Listen, John 14 just wasn't written 2 minutes ago. It was written a long time ago.
Yeah.
It's forever settled in heaven. It's another deep thing of God. It's forever settled a long time ago, way back. No time period on it. That he was going to prepare a place for you. That's a deep thing of God. He's got a mansion with my mailbox right out in front. I don't know what kind of mail you're going to get in heaven. I really don't. I wonder if they run mail on Saturdays. I know one thing. There won't be any bills coming in the mailbox. Praise God. How about inspiration of the scriptures? That's a deep thing of God. How is it possible? Let me be devil's advocate for a minute. How is it possible that sinful men, you can call them holy men of God speaking, you can do that as much as you want to, but they were still sinners. If the holy men that wrote this Bible out weren't sinners, then you better not look at Moses.
Right.
Don't take a look at him. Don't take a look at Paul. Paul was a Christian killer. Don't take a look at Paul, who wrote the vast majority of our New Testament. Be very careful. Don't get into the men of it. How's it possible then, Brother Carl? How's it possible that God could bring an inspired book out of sinners? How's it possible, Brother Carl? How's it possible? I just don't see any way. That is the deep thing of God. Here it is. This is going to be real profound. Are you ready? I'm good at profundity. How is it that God can? You say, how can he? I say, how can he?
Right.
I can do all things. Well, do you think if he can do all things through you, that he can do all things through them?
Right.
What does Psalms 12, 6, and 7 say? Let's get real deep.
There you go.
Let's get real deep. The words of the Lord are pure words. Are they our words? Holy men of God spake as they were moved. This is a deep thing of God. Very difficult now. Deep thing of God. Holy Ghost is going to have to teach it to you. Holy men of God spake as they were moved. It's like God took the pencil and put it in their hand. They were left handed because that's right. And he grabbed a hold of their hand and he wrote. You say, well, he allowed Luke and Mark and Matthew to write in their own vernacular, hogwash. That's crazy teaching to me. Listen, God wrote exactly what he wanted to write through, who he wanted to write it through, and it's God's word, not your words. The words of the Lord. Whose words? Whose word? Are we asleep now? The words of the Lord are pure words.
Amen.
The words of the Lord are pure words.
Yep.
And what's amazing to me is this. We get to a point where we get to that next verse. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Do I need to have Jerry Falwell make me a new version?
No.
Jerry Falwell, right. Didn't it? He was the driving force behind the New King James.
That's right.
Do I need to have the NIV? No. Why? Because God is keeping them. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Why aren't people getting that today?
Yep.
Because they're not being taught by the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
They're being taught by some punk kid that's going to put a doubt in your mind about this word.
Yep.
That's right.
I argued with an independent fundamental Baptist preacher for 25 minutes out in the parking lot why that's important. He said, well, let me tell you something. We're King James only. We're King James. I ought to tell you we're King James if you're not. I'm telling you we're King James. Are you King James? Do you need to take out the word of God with you to go soul winning? Well, no. Then you're not King James. See, because you... I get a little itchy. When you think the words that are coming out of your mouth are what's going to lead something to Christ.
Yep.
Right.
I get a little itchy. Because it's not your words.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
It really makes me itchy because I hear these people that act like their words, your testimony, Jordan, is so great.
Yeah.
Your testimony is so wonderful that you tell somebody your testimony and they're going to get saved.
Yeah.
That's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Yep.
The Word of God is never, if you go throughout the Scripture, if somebody got saved, it was because they had the Word of God talked to them, spoke to them, or they had the Word of God in their hands. Show me somebody that didn't. When people were getting saved, the Word of God was being preached.
That's right.
That's a deep thing of God. You got to have the Holy Ghost teaching. What's one of the Holy Ghost's job? Is to teach you things. And to be taught, you have to be a student. I've got lots of students in the school. Some are good students, some are not so good. We've got some that are straight A's. What separates the straight A's from the C's? I got news for you. Good one. I got news for you. Thank you for the help. I got news for you. It is not intelligence. It is not intelligence necessarily. What's amazing to me is this. It's because I've got C students who could be A students, but because they're not good students, they don't become A students. It's a difference between desiring to be taught and not desiring to be taught.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One of the things that preachers always try to instruct his preacher boys is to be teachable. Come to a point where you realize that you don't know everything.
Yep.
Yeah.
If you get inside that Bible and realize that you don't know everything, then the Holy Ghost got a chance to teach you something. But if you come into the situation, Brother Bill, if I would have told my dad all throughout the years, Dad, you know what you're talking about. First of all, I'd have like 7 broken noses by now. But I was one of those guys, I knew I didn't know everything. I know that I still don't know everything. I'm not even close. amazing to me is I want to sit under a man that is willing to teach me and show me things and let the Holy Ghost speak through him and let the Holy Ghost speak through his word and learn. The difference between a good student and a bad student, a success and a failure, is the ability or the willingness to be taught. You have to have a willingness to be taught. Not only do you have to have a willingness to be taught, you have to have a willingness to study. And that's why the Bible says, study to show thyself approved. A workman. A willing workman. So you've got to understand that the Bible is not just going to jump off the page and inundate you with smartness. You're not going to open the Bible and say, whoa, I learned all that in 10 seconds. You've got to work and allow and go to class. If you don't get through your Bible, how in the world did you ever go to class? How many of you cut class when you were a kid? Oh, I cut class a lot. Can I ask you a question? What did you learn the day you cut class? Huh? That's good stuff, isn't it? What did you learn the day you cut class? Nothing. Why? Because you didn't show up. So show up. Go to class. Let the Holy Ghost teach you. So we get through all these deep things of God. Let's look at Ephesians real quick. I just want to backtrack just a little bit. I had this verse picked out, so I wanted to show it to you. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Glory to God. That should get you excited just reading that right there. That is so wonderful. According as he has chosen us in him. Look at this now. Here's a deep thing. I'm going to read the scripture now. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Carl, he chose you before the foundation of the world. Grandma Sue, he chose you before the foundation of the world. What did that look like when he put the world together, by the way? He chose me. He chose you. He chose us. Were any of us there? That was quite a while ago, wasn't it? Huh? According to the world, billions and billions and billions of years. According to God, it's around 6,000. I'll take God's word. And if you look at this, before the foundation of the world, that we should be stagnant. That we should do what we want. That we should be holy. And without blame before him in love. Understand this. Holy and without blame can only be done in one way.
Yep, that's right.
That's through accepting his son, Jesus Christ. He put that in line before the foundation of the world, knowing that you were going to get saved. Isn't that awesome? Having predestinated us. Here's that T. Predestination, is it in the Bible, Brother Dave? It is in the Bible. Why are we so afraid to talk about it? Predestination is in the scripture. Having predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Oh, I love this. I love this. He saved you. He predestinated you. He adopted you and gave him pleasure to do it. He was excited. He was glad. He was happy to have you as his child. The person that he... Listen. If he predestinated you, Linda, to be his child, how long has he been thinking about you? Huh? Well, wait a minute, Brother Dave. I've only been alive for a little while. I understand that. That's not what the Bible says, though. Learn a deep thing of God. If he predestinated you, how long has he been thinking about you? And if he's been thinking about you, I wonder if he was going to take care of you.
Yeah.
And if he's going to take care of you, I wonder why he would take care of you. I wonder if he would take care of you because he's got a job for you. Boy, this is deep today. But that's what the Bible said. That's what predestination is. Why did we go out soul winning then? Because we don't know who he's been thinking about since the foundation of the world.
Right.
We don't know who the elect are. We don't know who the children of God are that he already knows. We don't have that knowledge. So why do we go out? Because we don't know, and God has told us to go.
Right. Amen.
Learn the deep thing of God. How do people get saved? Because somebody goes out and tells them. And here's what's even more awesome. I'm all done. You lead somebody to Christ. Christ knew that was going to happen.
Right.
Before the foundation of the world.
Preach it, brother. Mm-hmm. Right.
But the other side of that coin is as well.
Repent.
He knew what you were not going to do before the foundation of the world. And he still loved you, Brother Mike. The Holy Spirit teaches us that although we are not worth it, he made us worthy. Although we were not holy, he made us have the opportunity to become holy. Although we are yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
What does the Holy Spirit teach us? The deep things of God. You don't get any deeper than that. Don't even try to get deeper than that. Him loving a sinner is as deep as it can get. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this morning. Lord, I thank you for your Holy Ghost teaching us these things.
Lord, you were not coming down here bodily to show us and teach us, although what a wonderful thing that's going to be when we get to eternity and have you there to instruct us, Lord, in all the things of your Bible. Lord, I don't believe we even scratch the surface of your scriptures. I don't even believe we get close. But Lord God, I'm waiting for that blessed eternal day when you get to teach us your word. What a wonderful day that's going to be. Lord God, I thank you so much for teaching us the deep things through your Holy Spirit. Your Holy Spirit has got wonderful works. And we're so excited, Lord, to learn. Oh, let us be good students. And Lord, please, if there's one in here that doesn't know the deepest thing of God, if there's one in here that doesn't know you as Savior, Lord, please, let him repent today. Let him get right with you through getting saved. It's not about what they're doing in their life. It's about what they did with your life. Lord, please, if there's one in here that's lost, Lord, let him be found today. Lord, I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right.